You're listening to a podcast from Life Church Southampton. To find out more about the church or to explore other resources, visit lifesouthampton.org.
Well, hello. Good morning. Is this a little bit different? Is this making people feel uncomfortable? Good. If it is your first time, you might be thinking, this isn't quite normal, like a normal sort of church setting. Obviously, if you've been coming for a while, you're probably still thinking the same. What is going on? We've been used to like a 30 to 40 minute preach most weeks, maybe sometimes over, depending on who's preaching. Are you in for an 80 minute preach this morning? Because there's two of us. No, you're not. Don't worry. We are still planning to finish about 12, just after 12. So this is a bit different. So, John, what are we doing?
Yeah, so this is going to be a bit more conversational. Am I on?
I'm on. I'm muted. That's a great start. This is going to be a little bit more conversational, probably a little bit more informal than you're used to. We're not going to walk around like some of our speakers do on Sunday mornings. Or I'm not. I don't know about you, James.
No, I don't plan to.
No, but I can share with you that we're going to talk about the Bible. We're going to talk about what that says and what it means for Life Church. James and I have spent some time preparing. We've met together. We've prayed together. We've got a shared Google Doc where we've kind of contributed our own bits to. And even last night, I texted James and said, what are you wearing tomorrow? You know, we need to be prepared. I don't want you clashing with me. And I think we've done all right in matching. Yeah, so hopefully, even though it's slightly different, we're in for a good morning. We're going to get to know each other as well. So, James, I'm going to ask you a question.
Go for it.
People have seen you hosting, possibly know that you're the operations manager here at Life Church and on the leadership team. What do you do outside of that? What do you do for fun? Not that that's not fun, but...
No, yeah, I mean, all of that is really fun as well, John, don't worry. The biggest thing, I guess I love spending time with my family. So a lot of times at the weekends, I'll maybe go to the football to go and watch the older two play football. Do things in the evening, love spending time with good friends. And this time next week, I don't often do it, but I'll be flying out to Italy to go skiing with my youngest daughter. So really looking forward to that.
Ooh, fancy. I've never been skiing, James, and I'm quite petrified of it. I don't know how you break going downhill with just things on your feet. It sounds really weird. So, yeah, good luck. Don't come back injured, please.
John, what about you? So, obviously, people know you from being up here talking about Breakfast Club, again, being part of the leadership team. But what do you actually do in terms of a job, and what do you like to get up to? And tell us something about what you do.
Yeah, so I work at the University of Southampton, not the Solent one. But I do like the Solent one as well. They're a great bunch of people. I've worked there on and off for the last 15 years, managing research projects. And a lot of those projects have been to do with international development and the impact of climate change on different people, different parts of the environment around the world. I've had the privilege to travel to many parts of the world as well.
Oh, nice. Anywhere particular has been like quite interesting?
Oh, there's been lots of places, but I actually found I studied geography at university. I really like people. I really like communities. I like kind of how they interact with nature and the environment. And I think some of the most interesting places I've been to Nepal, and just after there was an earthquake actually there, and to see how people recovered from an earthquake, how the earthquake impacted kind of daily activity, ranging from kind of ruptured water pipes under the city through to the inability of people to feed themselves, but also seeing how society comes together and cares in those situations. Mm. And I've loved going to Africa as well. I went to Malawi quite a few years ago, and that was a really fascinating country. In some of these countries that we go to, people are just so welcoming and open. And in Malawi, we and our research team felt so welcome. And it was just fascinating to kind of get to sit with people and hear about what life is and completely different people to us.
Wow, so that's your community that you end up going out to with work. I think for my work, I end up going to Bedford Place and Portswood High Street. And that's probably about as fascinating as it goes. But anyway, there's some great kebab shops there in Portswood High Street. That's probably quite fascinating if you want to know that. But that's about it. John?
Yeah, so today we are introducing our next sale, which is to our right. Bringing life to every community by increasingly becoming a church where those in need experience the welcome and love of Jesus and have their physical and spiritual needs met. We're going to talk about this and talk about what it means to us and what it means to the church. But first, I'm going to ask James to ground us in the Bible.
Yeah, this passage should come up on the screen as well, but feel free to follow along as I read. It's in Romans 12, verses 13 to 21. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thanks, James. That's part of Romans 12, and we've already looked at some earlier passages in this chapter in this series. James, you've been part of the church for 19 years and actually worked for the church for 13 of those. I want to ask you, what have you loved doing as part of that? And what's been important to keep you going?
Yeah, good question. I think I've been reminded recently of two of our culture headlines, which we've talked about previously in previous years, about what we do. It's all about Jesus and all about people. And that's what we are. That's what we do in this church. I mean, it might be quite straightforward, you might be thinking, all about Jesus, all about people. But what does that actually look like? What does that mean? And I think when people feel welcomed into the church, they feel like there's a place for them. They feel like they belong here. And that's what we try to do. Not just on a Sunday, I think we've got a great welcome team. And I've spoken to a few guests and visiting guests from other churches, and they've come along and they've said, we received such a great welcome here. From the beginning, when they set inside the building, all the way through the service, they feel so welcome here. And that's what we'd love to, people to feel. But I think it's more than that, isn't it? It's more than just a Sunday morning. It's about hospitality as well. When I say hospitality, I think we can sometimes think, oh, do they serve a good cup of tea or maybe a biscuit or, I don't know, what chocolate was in the youth tin this week and do they get any? I think it's much more than that. Hospitality actually means extending a welcome to guests. The Greek translation means love of strangers. So it's people you know and people you don't know. And that's what I mean by actually welcoming people and being hospitable. So I think when we read in that passage, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. I don't think Paul wrote it as thinking, oh, make sure everyone gets a cup of tea. He actually wrote it thinking, if you've got food and someone's in need, share your food with them. And I also think in the early church, if someone was in need, you've basically got what you've got in your house, in your home, and you share that. There's not a Tesco's down the road that's open 24 hours that you can go and get food from. If someone's in need, you have less food so that someone has food. And so I think that's what it means by actually sharing what you have so that for those that are people in need. And that's what Jesus did. So we want people to experience the love of what Jesus, how he loved people as well. So when we've done food, and we talk about food a lot, don't we? And we said about it in the notices today with Alpha and there's food, or we're wanting to bless the students and give them food. When we've done food at Commission Festival or the prayer meeting last week, we talk about food. It's because we want people to feel like, oh yeah, I belong here. Like, I feel welcome here. There's one less thing for us to worry about, and actually let's eat together. I don't know about you, I'm getting a bit bored of pizzas though. We tend to do that quite a lot. I'm sorry for that. But it is a lot easier than just doing steak for everyone, I'll tell you that now. The other reason we do pizzas, I think like John said, I work in the church. So it's quite easy to work out how we do that because I've got a spreadsheet for it. A couple of people have mentioned recently, they're like, oh, you love a spreadsheet, don't you? It's like, yeah, I guess I do love a spreadsheet. But you know what? I actually love people more. And I think you can actually, you can start a church, you can plan a church, you can plan events on a spreadsheet. But you only build a church by people. And so when I say we're all about people and we're all about Jesus, that is who we are.
I think that's absolutely spot on, James, yeah. And James has actually told me that we're expecting pizza for a lunch we've got going on today. So if his phone rings about 12:05, it might be the pizza arriving. So yeah, if people feel welcome here, James, with or without pizza, how do we also help them spiritually and physically?
Yeah, so we said we can read it on there, don't we? We aim to do this. We want to have people's physical and spiritual needs addressed. And I think when we say spiritual needs, we're actually talking more, it's more creating a space for God to work than it is about actually fixing a problem. So it's more than just attendance on a Sunday. Coming here is great. Listening to a talk, listening to the worship, being involved, kids and kids work. It's like, yeah, that will do you good. And we're hoping that this morning will do you good. But it's more than just attending on a Sunday morning. So we talk about life groups quite a lot. That small week gathering where you get to speak to other people a little bit more. Talk about coming forward for prayer on a Sunday after church. We talk about being a community, and that's what we want. People can be real without being, feel real without being rejected. And one of the things we did as an eldership team last year is we went through the STEPS course. And if you're unaware of what STEPS is, it's basically 12 steps and you come together on an evening or you can do it on Zoom as well. And it's to help you find freedom with something that is actually holding you back. And you share what you're realising about yourself, and there's some good ways to help you break free from unhelpful patterns. Now, I didn't actually want to do steps last year, and I was thinking, actually, I don't need to do steps. I'm not in a, I don't feel like I need to do steps for any particular reason, but we did it as a group, and I'll be honest with you, it's quite an emotional year for me. It was like you talk about things like, oh, man, you feel like really hit. And so you don't have to be in a place of thinking, oh, actually, maybe I should do steps. I think steps is great for everyone, and you can work through stuff. There is another information evening coming up soon, so feel free to get involved in that and more information online as well. But it is something where it's actually going to help because you're actually speaking to other people. Yes, you're speaking to God, but you're actually sharing what you're actually realising. And so we say, yeah, God actually needs, we need God. I mean, he wants us to be able to share with him what we're going through. And sometimes I think we need people to actually point us in the direction of Jesus, don't we? So we need people around us, which is why we say, yeah, we're all about people. It's God that actually addresses our spiritual needs, but we need each other around us to actually say, yeah, point us to Jesus. One of the other things, obviously, you say about physical needs as well, and we talk about food, clothing, providing a bed for someone, which is why we've done winter beds over the last few weeks at the boathouse. We talk about CAP quite a lot, Christian Against Poverty. And we've got a CAP Sunday coming up in a couple of weeks, so we'll be able to find out a bit more as well. And we talk about Breakfast Club, which, John, you're involved with, aren't you? So you've been there for, what, 14 years now, been leading it for about 10 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is it that actually encourages you and drives you to get up that early in the morning on those Saturday mornings?
Yeah, good question. I think, genuinely, I love doing Breakfast Club. Every Saturday, I get up and do it. It's great to do it with a team that I know are there and kind of, We're together and they're behind our vision and our mission for it. And it's great to see our guests come through the door. You know, we've done Breakfast Club, you said, for 14 years, and we've seen guests come every time we've done it for 14 years. We ran it through COVID. We did a socially distanced Breakfast Club outside our old building where we had tables outside and we had one person taking orders and putting an order on a table and someone else coming from the kitchen and getting it and doing that. But we've really built up a rapport and a trust with the community in Southampton. And it's been really fascinating to and interesting to get to know them and to kind of serve and to hear and to listen as well. But I think it's where Jesus would be. Jesus, he mixed with all sorts of people in society. He wasn't worried about a socioeconomic status or kind of how it looked upon him when he went and talk to people who are ill, who are unwell, who are poor, or people who are really rich or in kind of high-powered positions in society. He went and mingled with everyone. He was willing to be interrupted, much to his disciples' annoyance at times. And I think it's good to have your life interrupted with things as well that make you think, that challenge you a little bit and kind of help you understand what goes on just outside your circle, but in a broader kind of society. As I said, we've kind of walked and listened to people and shared with people over 14 years there. And I was reflecting on it. And actually, I think I spent more time with a lot of our guests at Breakfast Club than I have with quite a few people here in the room today, if I count up the hours that we've kind of chatted over breakfast and a coffee there or serving them. But we get to know people's lives by doing that, by actually kind of integrating ourselves and mingling with people. Verse 15 in this Romans passage says, mourn with those who mourn. And, you know, recently one of our guests passed away. He had a stroke and was in hospital and sadly died. And to see the impact on the community at Breakfast Club was sad. But we got to sit there alongside them and mourn and to listen and to hug our guests and kind of tell them a bit more about Jesus. There's real kind of depth in it. And then finally as well, I think there's a personal call for me on this. When me and Lois, my wife, left our previous church in Bedfordshire to come down to Southampton, people prayed for us. And one of the prayers that kind of stuck, and sometimes when prophecy comes, you have to weigh it. Well, you always have to weigh it. But sometimes it's the things that actually stick and kind of get repeated that mean something. And the prayer over us was that we would be with the undesirables. And that doesn't mean that Life Church is undesirable. But it's actually shaped where Lois and I choose to put our energy and our resource and where we serve and how we interact with people. It struck a chord in our hearts and it continues to strike a chord in our hearts. You know, I've asked God over the years, should I still be doing Breakfast Club? It's been so many years now and he hasn't said no. So I continue to faithfully serve there alongside many of you, which is fantastic and a privilege.
Great. So what are some of the challenges you think we have in maybe reaching a whole variety of people that are in need in the love of Jesus?
Yeah, well, I think, well, Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let's not become weary doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest and give up. So one of the challenges, I think, is just understanding that salvation is in God's timing, as I think Esther was sharing earlier. It's God's timing, but we need to be obedient and do our bit in it and to continue to serve. Secondly, as well, and this is something I've thought about a bit as we've kind of looked at our church calling and what we do over the next few years, is, and I've called it permeability and integration. You know, often in churches you have kind of people, a kind of a core, and then your ministries sometimes are a bit more on the outside, kind of dotted around. And I think one of our challenges is to make sure that those ministries aren't isolated, to make sure that those people aren't seen as on the edge of the church, but kind of come in a bit, but also that church goes out a bit as well, because we're all part of church family. And, you know, there's people who we serve and disciple and love who aren't here on a Sunday morning. I did a little bit of market research at Breakfast Club last Saturday and just asked some of our guests, how would you feel about coming to church on a Sunday morning? Explain a bit about what we do. And I got a whole load of mixed replies. Some were like, well, I don't know God. I don't like God. Life hasn't been good to me. I don't want to go there. Some were a bit more kind of hesitant and were like, well, I'm not sure I would be welcome there. Some actually said, if there's food, I might come along. and I promised them there was quite regularly food. You know, that's a challenge for people who kind of we minister to, we serve, we bless. How do they kind of integrate with us as a church as a whole? How do they feel part of our family? Verse 16 in this Romans passage says, do not be proud and be willing to associate with the lowly. That's a real challenge, isn't it? For us individually, do not be proud. Do not think so much of ourselves that we're not willing to associate with people who are different of us, people who have different socioeconomic statuses, people who live differently, people who experience life differently to us. You know, I wonder what it would be like if I asked us to just clear out three rows of here and the 50 people who come to Breakfast Club just come in one Sunday and sit. How do we feel? I think it will challenge us. It will challenge us kind of inwardly and probably make us a little bit uncomfortable, because church here will look and feel and smell slightly differently. And I mean, I'm not saying that jokingly, that is honest truth. It will be slightly different, but we're called to kind of bless every community. And if we want to be a church that really is permeable and allows people to come into our community, we've got to be willing to be challenged in areas. Another challenge that's slightly closer to home, I think, is just the way we kind of run church on Sunday mornings. not everybody finds this accessible. Not everyone finds a loud, noisy meeting accessible. And I'd love it over the next few years if we were able to find ways to help people kind of really reach God in different ways, but still feel part of our church family and not feel they had to miss out. Whether that's really practical things like not being able to get here on a Sunday morning, bus doesn't come to here, or they haven't got a car, or those sort of kind of practical things. Through to how do we help people who experience and relate to each other in different ways? How do we help them integrate and feel part of church? Yeah. Finally, and I've rambled on a bit here, there's a lot we could do. There is a lot we could do. There's a lot of need. But there's also a lot of other churches in the area and charities who do great things. So I think our third challenge is to discern from God what it is that he wants us as Life Church to put our effort and resources into at this time where we are in the city and beyond. And that's something I think we need to be praying into as a church.
That's good. I think it's quite easy, isn't it, to actually think of some of these things we've put on these banners and think, oh, it's kind of like a bit of a tick box exercise. We're like, oh, yeah, no, we've done that. Yeah. Okay, we'll write that down. That's it. It's done. It's not that. We said that we're aiming to increasingly become a church of these things. So it's not like a one-time, yep, yeah, done that. It's not that. We want to increase it. And like John said, actually, we can't do it all. There's so many different ways that we can get involved in and do things to actually help people around us, help the community, and we can't do it all. But step by step, it's like, okay, what can you play your part in? And is there something you're thinking, actually, yeah, no, I could do that. Or maybe I'll offer to do that. Or maybe I can help this person out or do that thing. Okay, we're not going to be able to. It's a work in progress. And I think it's quite easy to sort of like, you know, for us to be up here and say, yep, do it. And for us to feel like everyone should do their bit. But I think, just let me be clear when we say, actually, that nothing that we do adds to our salvation. Okay, we are justified by faith and faith alone. We're dead in sin and God made us alive. Let me read a verse from 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. So when we say, let's serve from a place of grace, from a place where we know we don't deserve what God has done for us, then we aren't seeking any human approval from anywhere else. We are actually wanting to simply pour out to others what God has poured to us. So then we don't look at the homeless person or the lonely neighbour and think, actually, I'm the helper and I'm going to go and help them. It's not about that. We should be thinking, I was lost. God saved me. There's a place at the table for that person as well. So let us be a church where actually welcome isn't just on the banner or on a T-shirt or a piece of paper, but it's rather commitment. That if you or someone is in need, either physically or spiritually, then there's actually a place for you in this church, and there's a place where you can feel, I belong here because of what God has done. And because we actually know what it's like to be saved by grace. And because of that, we actually want other people to actually say, yeah, I belong here. There's a place for me here. Let me be a part of that. John, what about the church's role in wider society, really? Are there ways that we can play our part and help meet needs in, like, I guess, a broader sense?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think actually, on a really practical level, the majority of us here spend quite a lot of our time not in this setting here in a church. You might be in school, college, university, at home, volunteering, in a workplace. And those are areas that also, and perhaps more importantly, need both. People have physical and spiritual needs that need to be met. So there's a role for us as a body. You know, the Bible tells us that the church is a body. We all kind of play our parts together for the church to function really well. And when we leave here on a Sunday morning, we don't stop being part of that body. You know, you don't leave here and your kind of hand falls off. As we leave here on a Sunday morning, we are still a church, a body, together, united, and wanting to serve God for his glory. And there are so many challenges in society at the moment, aren't there? There's so much polarization, increasingly so. You look at the news at the moment, and there are things going on in the world that just kind of grate with me. And I don't think that's right. And there's world leaders doing things that I think, not sure that aligns with what I think the Bible says. We look at verse 17 and 21 in this passage. It says, do not repay evil with evil. And 21 says, do not overcome by evil, but overcome by good. I think there's a worrying state in the world which can permeate not just kind of at a global level, but into kind of our own way of thinking, whether it's in our families and with kids, with your brothers and sisters. How do you treat each other? Do you wind each other up and then try and kind of get one over each other? Or are you showing love and not overcoming evil or bad with bad? What about our places we work as well? I think Romans 12 calls us to be countercultural. It calls us to not treat others as maybe we even think they deserve or others think they deserve, which exactly, as you said, James, is how God treats us. He doesn't treat us as we deserve. He has mercy and grace and treats us like his children. And if we are going to be the church in and around society, that's the way we should treat others as well. Not treating people as they deserve and perhaps as their actions deserve, but thinking, what would Jesus do here? You know, Jesus tells us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, but then to love our neighbours as ourselves. Colossians 3 also says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord, not for human masters. I had this as a little post-it note on my computer for years at work. And it's a verse I love because when I saw it, it just reminded me of who I was serving. And I'm sure all of us who can agree that sometimes we just get frustrated with what's going on in work or study or college or school around us. But remembering that we're not just serving our human masters, but we're serving God. And many of us are called to be in that place. You know, there's an important life, church, of us playing our part in society and bringing godly decision-making, godly leadership, godly serving into areas where decisions and influence actually happen. Whether it's being on the CU committee or boards at university or on your sports teams at school or perhaps just kind of in your workplace setting, there's always going to be benefit from bringing godly decision-making, godly wisdom and love into those areas. And they will help society, our councils, our government, our bosses make decisions that are maybe just a little bit more godly, but it just kind of swings that barometer, doesn't it? A little bit more towards what Jesus would do.
Absolutely. And I think that's our heart, is to actually working out what Jesus wants us to do. I mean, we could sit here and reel off many different things, be like, oh yeah, get involved in this and come and do that or do this. And it's not about that. It's actually what does Jesus want us to do? And I think that's why we've put these things on these banners, and we're doing another one next week as well. And the last of the series was saying, look, Jesus, what are you calling us to do here in Southampton? What's on your heart? Because we want to follow you. It's not about the different activities that we do. It's not about the different things that we think, oh yeah, got to do that today or got to sign up for this. It's not about that. Hopefully you've heard from us as we've shared this morning that actually we're wanting to be guided and to be led by Jesus and Jesus alone. And we want him to work on each of our hearts. And that's what it's about today. I love that song when we were singing it earlier, A Child of God by Grace and Grace Alone. That line in that, and it is, it's by grace and grace alone. And that's why Jesus, that's why we want to look to him. Okay, it's not our agenda. It's not one thing we're thinking, actually, maybe we should do this in this city because this person needs this and they need this address. Actually, it's because we want to follow what Jesus does. And Jesus loves people and we want to follow that, so we love people. I'm going to invite the band up because there's only one thing that we can really do, isn't it? It's look to him. And that's what we want to do. And so we're going to go back into a time of worship as we close. And we're going to look to him to guide us, to help us, to lead us. Because that's what we want to do. We don't want to do anything else, really. And we're going to focus on him. We want to focus on Jesus. And when we have conversations later, whether you're staying for the Get Connected lunch or the finding out more about kids and youth lunch, or we're just here for tea and coffee afterwards and you're talking to one another, just be thinking about sort of like, oh, what is it that Jesus would want me to do in this situation? How can I point this person to Jesus? And that's what we're going to be doing. So As we finish, can I just encourage you, as we're going back into a time of worship, just to be thinking about, okay, what's on your heart, Jesus? Because I want to be closer to you in that way.
Brilliant. Yeah, and look at that, yep. James. 1 minute to 12. We've done well.
We've done well. Can I encourage you to stand? And then we'll pray. Yeah, Lord, we are open to what you have got for us. Lord, it's not about us. It's not about our agenda. It's not about what we want, Lord. It's about you and your glory. Lord, we thank you again, as we've heard this morning through worship, and as Esther and Palumi have spoken to us and challenged us about earlier on, as they've been hosting, it was just sort of, it's about you and only you. And we are so thankful and grateful for all you have done and all you continue to do. And so we come to you again as we, I guess, close as part of the meeting, Lord, as we come to a place of worship again, as we go about the rest of our day, as we have tea and coffee in a moment, Lord, we just say, Lord, work in us, work in our hearts. Lord, be speaking to each one of us. Help us to encourage others. Help us to be there for one another. Help us not to think that we know what's right. Help us not to think we know what's best. Lord, we again want to come to you daily and say, work in each one of us. Have your way like no one else can. And we say again, Lord, it's because we are children of you. And so it's by grace and grace alone that we are saved and that we can have a relationship with you. And so, Lord, I just pray now as we do worship, as we just invite people to forward to come for prayer if they want to and to talk to someone, just to be like, yeah, what is it you're wanting to do in my heart? Maybe you're sat there or standing there thinking, I don't know what it is that God's speaking to me about. And you need someone to pray for you. You need someone to encourage you here and now. And if that is you, I'd encourage you to come forward in a moment, and we'll have a team of people that would love to pray up to pray for you. And if you're thinking, what am I doing? So, Lord, we just pray that you'll be speaking to us, directing us in our thoughts, Lord, and to be able to be pointing us to you. Thank you that we can come to you. Thank you that we can come and rest in your presence. And so, Lord, we praise your name because we say you are worthy, and we glorify your name today. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Life Church Southampton. Check out lifesouthampton.org for more.